Well, it is a Tuesday morning here on 1380 AM, 95.1 FM, KCIM. Jeff Blankman along with Assistant Sports Director Mason Nealon in the house. It is time for CB Sports Network Rewind Show. We're kind of dancing, I guess, without Casey Miners here today. He'll be back hopefully next week with us. But Mason, I got to ask, I'll tell you my thoughts after I answer you first, but you recovered from last week yet?
A little sunburnt, a little tired, but you know what? It's kind of that feeling of, is it really done already? I mean, last year I kind of had it of, whew, all right, the first one's done, we're good now. But now it's like, really, that's kind of the most fun time of the year is state track right there, and now we're right into 87 to 90 degree weather and baseball and softball and all that getting kicked off this week.
Yeah, well, they actually kicked off last week with games, as we did have a few broadcasts, but it's so weird Thursday and Friday. Thursday was cold. I mean, even the athletes were complaining about the temperatures Thursday. Friday, slightly better, and then by Saturday, mid-morning, we were able to wear shorts and T-shirts. It's rare that you go down to the state track meet and most of it is chilly weather, but that kind of fits what we've had most of the spring sports season. Was not many real nice days.
Yeah, and that was, I mean, I was sitting there and I go, it's weird to think that I'm broadcasting baseball and softball and I'm okay the first couple of days. And then we get to Wednesday and I'm like, all right, it's not bad outside. And we get to Thursday and I'm like, this feels like an early bird track meet at Drake Stadium and not the championships and the culmination of an entire spring. So I was really thrown off by that. But yeah, I mean, it was weird to see coats and blankets and hats when we were middle of May for state track.
Yeah, and like you, it was difficult for me. I had to work, you know, KCIM all day on Sunday, so I was here, you know, pretty much most of the day. It was difficult to stay awake at times. I can definitely feel the olderness in my body and my bones, and state track wore me out. But it was a lot of fun. We're going to talk about that coming up here in just a little bit. We'll kind of highlight some of the top things. You put out some really cool videos for people to go. Where can they find those again?
You just look up CB Sports Network, basically any social media you want to. It'll be on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all of that good stuff. So go on any of those, look up CB Sports Network, and it'll be all three of them will be right there.
If you take out Trayvon's championship, because that one's probably going to be clearly your favorite, what was the favorite thing that you think you shot down there?
Honestly, some of the times, you know, I love shooting our local athletes, but I also threw some other stuff in there and just kind of shot some other kids as well, you know, to test some stuff and kind of see how I liked it. And there was some good ones. I mean, there was a girl that, I can't remember where she's from, but broke the all-time record in one of the races and ran over to her mom and her dad and was kind of hugging them and in the stands and whatever, and I got a good shot of that. But honestly, it was just kind of more of the excitement, the facial reactions, the feelings that you get from state track that I shot from a lot of our local athletes and some other athletes as well.
Have you had time to put together the signature one yet?
Partially. I'm still trying to figure out, you know, I have to cut some of the videos. Yep. Because, you know, I click record and then I had to do all that. So I have to cut a lot of the videos. So it's taking longer than I thought, but it'll be fun when it does come out.
Explain to the listeners what you're going to be putting out sometime this week from state track.
So it's, I don't know how exactly I want to word it, but it's like, it's a video of most of our kids that competed, and they kind of signed the camera, and it's kind of our way of, you know, signing out of state track, signing out of the track season, and moving forward into kind of the baseball and softball season. I don't know exactly what day it'll come out. It'll hopefully tomorrow, because tomorrow, you know, you and I are off for not broadcasting, you know, but yeah, hopefully tomorrow will be kind of that day that I'll get enough to be able to put it out.
And the kids had fun doing it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I know your nephew posted me on Instagram for for that purpose, but I think that it was something that, you know, I kind of said not a lot of people do and not a lot of people see unless you're, you know, Olympic, NBA, NFL, whatever those are. So I think it was fun to kind of bring it down to the high school level and let the kids have their fun with it.
Did anybody really need a full explanation, or once you kind of told them what you were doing, did everybody kind of already kind of have the concept down?
Some of them just were like, what do you want me to do here? But once I hand them the mic or the excuse me, not the microphone, that's your guys' job, the markers, they kind of looked at me and went, okay, I somewhat understand, but it was more about, you know, when they would get into signing and then the kid's facial reaction of, I think I messed up, and just kept going, which was better than when that.
So if anybody missed any of the results, we had Nick Brinks, of course, doing them live on Kick 106.7 and updates. We were also posting all of the results to the website. You can find them in two different spots, really. The Motor Inn results page that will have the video interviews and pictures of all of the kids in action. That was the one that Nick worked on throughout the day. And then we also had the Brinks Exterior recap at the end of the day as well. So two different places. You can find all of Thursday's results, all of Friday's results, and all of Saturday's results. We also have, of course, Nick with his reports that he was putting on Kick 106.7. He records those, and then he posts all those records to the website as well. So technically, there's three different places each day that people can go and get the results. You can check out video interviews. I think we caught up with all but maybe one athlete down at the state track meet. So you can check those out and find the video interviews on the CB Sports Network YouTube page, as well as on the CB Sports Network Facebook and Twitter pages as well. So we're going to talk state track and some of the highlights when we come back with more of the CB Sports Network Rewind Show here on KCIM, brought to you by St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services.
Looking for support as your child grows and learns? Discover Parents as Teachers, a free, proven program for families with young children in Carroll County. From pregnancy through kindergarten, certified parent educators partner with you to support your child's development through home visits, developmental screenings, and fun learning activities. You are your child's first and most important teacher. Build confidence. Strengthen your family. Prepare your child for success. Call to learn more. Parents as Teachers, Stronger Families, Brighter Futures, St. Anthony Regional Hospital. Always look to the cross, always St. Anthony.
I'm Stephanie Hausman, Carroll County Supervisor, District 4. For 8 years, I've worked to protect the taxpayers, lower the levy, and keep Carroll County moving forward. My values are simple: faith, family, and community. I'd appreciate your support. Early voting is now at the courthouse and paid for by Stephanie Hausman.
Fuel your day with quality taste. Stop at Quickstar. Bring home the flavor of the Quickery Bacon. Now just $2.99 for a 12-ounce pack. Enjoy crispy applewood smoked goodness with your breakfast favorites, or sizzling on top of a juicy burger packed with flavor. Make your taste buds and your wallet happy today. The Quickery Bacon. Now just $2.99 for a 12-ounce pack. Fuel up at your one-stop shop for snacks and meals that hit the spot. Only at Quickstar.
Carroll Merchants, a baseball team, entertains the Nevada Griffins tonight at historic Merchants Park at game time 6:30. Tonight's Merchants game is sponsored by Haley Equipment. Admission is $5 for adults. 12 and under are admitted free. Come on out and cheer on the Carroll Merchants. And they picked up a win last night, 11-7. Mason in their season opener, and we're going to try to get some Merchants players on this Rewind program throughout the season and stuff, and kind of recap things with them on things and how they're going. You will hear their scores and some of their highlights each and every morning on our, you know, sportscast right here on our all three of our stations, KCIM, Kick 106.7, and also 93.7 KKRL. We said we were going to talk a little state track. I'm going to kind of let you talk about which were some of the highlight events for you down there over the 3 days.
I tell you what, Jeff, there was some that, you know, some kids outperformed what we thought they were going to do or where they were seated, and I kind of wanted to start with, you know, Miss Wendy Vite up at East Sac. For a minute there, I almost thought she was going to go win the 400 hurdles. I'm shooting video, and it looks like she was in the lead. And then ultimately, you know, the one girl just had some really good pace and was able to beat her by just a little bit. But for a girl that, you know, we talked about all season, winning events all this whole time, I think she was in the top 15 for all but one of her events that she ran. And impressive from her, you know. You always got to talk about Trayvon winning the high jump and coming out of nowhere, really, to take second in the 200. I mean, we talked about it. I think you said 14th coming into the weekend, qualifies for the finals, and then is, I think, couple of maybe a foot back from the kid that wins it and takes second. So, you know, he's looking very good. He was in the top 15 for the long jump. I think he was in the top 10, top 12.
Sixth in the 100.
For the 100. Yep. And I was sitting there, and I'm like, you know, first, second, sixth, and I think, what, 11th for high jump or long jump?
I was 11th or 14th. I'd have to double check my notes here, and I can do that here. He was 11th. Yep, 11th in the
So, I mean, first, fourth, sixth, and 11th.
And 11th.
And you can only run four events. Yep. Every single event he was in the top 12 in. It's just like, what a season for the young man.
Yeah, and in the long jump, he hadn't really done that for a couple of weeks. They decided late, you know, and stuff to go ahead and see if they could get him and Blaise Schilling both qualified in the long jump, and he was able to make it, but really hadn't really done the long jump in about two or three weeks going into the state qualifying meet. So that tells you the kind of athlete he is to, you know, to take a few weeks off of an event and still be able to get himself there and then perform well down at the state track meet. Now, knowing Trayvon and as competitive he is, he takes second in the 200 meters, and the fact that he shattered his school record and jumped 12 spots from where he was seated going into the, you know, to the state tournament, the state meet, he was still frustrated because he didn't win, because he's competitive, and that's part of, I think, the reason why he is as successful as what he is, that he's driven, and he's driven to be the best in everything he does, and you know, he puts the time in and the effort, and he's what you call a gamer. He's one of those guys, when the light shines the brightest, he shines his brightest, and that's what makes him kind of a special athlete.
Yeah, and if you were from the outside looking in, I mean, you see the kid from Lawton Bronson win the 200, and you see Trayvon come off, and he's really visibly frustrated, and then you're like, you just took second in a state event and you're frustrated, and you got to really know Trayvon to know that one, you know, I think he would have rather taken last than second, because he's sitting there going, I could have won that. I would have honestly came out there and probably could have won it. And I think, I know you probably interviewed him and maybe talked about it, but he's one of those kids that it'll bug him until next year, I feel like, and it'll push him enough to say, you know what, I'm going to go out next year and go win the event, because I know that's probably how it was. I wasn't around, but that's probably how it was with the high jump his freshman year when he took second, and you see him now going back-to-back with the high jump in back-to-back years.
And he won the high jump fairly handily this year. Last year it was a challenge all the way up. This year, he seemed to be in control of that event. I know the Bloom kid from, you know, Woodbine was there with him for a few heights, but you just never felt like he was pushed this year like he was last year. And that's not to take away anything from the Bloom kid. He's just a heck of an athlete as well. Probably going to Penn State to play football, right? So that tells you how great of an athlete that young man is. But it just didn't feel this year like anybody was going to stay with him. And I think part of that was, is he had cleared, what, 6'10 earlier this year, and I think nobody else was above 6'4 going into the state tournament. So,
and the biggest thing about it is, I mean, you know, you had that chaos of last year, that rule being thrown at Trayvon of you can jump heights and skip heights and all that. So I kind of said it the same thing with Mr. Bennett Blake, who came down with us. It's like, you didn't have that chaos this year, so when he won it, it was kind of like, are we done now? Like, you won it, you're going to 6'8", and you knew it was over after 6'6", when he didn't clear it, but at the same time, you're like, last year something was totally thrown at us, and I don't think any of us knew, but, you know, Landon and his coaching, credit to them for knowing the rules and knowing how to kind of get away with that kind of stuff pretty easily there. And, you know, it was fun this year to just kind of sit back, watch it happen, and once he won, he knew instantly, because I know last year I shot the same exact video of him going out there pumping his hands, ready to go. But I think last year, at the end of the video, he was kind of confused of, did I actually win it? And now this year he was like, I won it, and I know I won it.
Yeah, another young guy I want to talk about. We're down to one season left of him, and that's Cal Hayden from down at Coon. Has been battling some arm issues throughout the spring. Hasn't thrown the shot a lot, you know, had about 3 weeks off of really being competitive in the shot put, but you know, threw in the state qualifying meet, got himself down there, and was in the hunt until the final few throws, you know, really for a state championship. Ended up finishing in second place at 54 feet, 7.5 inches. I think the young man that won it ended up throwing one out there at about 60. He had thrown one in the opening round that was out around 60, but ended up scratching. And so Cal was kind of right in that hunt. But if I remember right, that kid that ended up winning it went like, what, 59, 60, 59 or something like that in those three throws in the finals. But, you know, again, Cal Hayden, being a competitive young man and seems to shine brightest, you know, in big situations, went out there and performed extremely, extremely well, I thought, on Thursday morning.
Yeah, and we knew coming into this one that that kid was going to be a challenge. Cal told us, Chris Moore told us, that kid throws the shot really well. But for Cal to go out there and not throw for a couple of weeks and then go out there and take second in the event, I mean, that's a feat that's hard to do. I mean, we've had a couple of kids do it, but that's one that's hard to do. And, you know, he kind of came over right away, and I could tell that him and Coach Moore were both satisfied just knowing that, you know, we went out as the second place. It's you want to win it, but at the same time, it's like we went out and we got second. That's kind of what our goal was initially.
Yeah, I think there'll always going to be for both of them, especially for Cal, a little bit of that what if. What if I'd have been healthy? What if I could have thrown at every meet and not had to deal with the arm issues and been able to get stronger kind of as the season goes along and everything else? And, what could he have accomplished and what was the distances that, you know, he could have reached? Because he throws 54 on kind of a bum arm and bum elbow. What could he have done if he'd have been healthy? But you're right, closed out a tremendous career in track with a second-place finish this year in the shot put.
Yeah, and some of the things, I mean, we talk about what-ifs here. I think that's one of the biggest things we can take away from the state track meet is not only the what-ifs of what happened this year, but the what-ifs of what if this kid puts in some time in the offseason?
Yep.
What's it going to look like next year when you have these kids, Trayvon being a junior, Wendy being a sophomore?
Yep.
I mean, you've got these underclassmen. You've got some kids that are going to perform. It's going to be about, you know, what is the time from then to now and then from now until next year look like? And I'm excited to see because, you know, it was fun to watch some of these kids outperform. But now you've set the bar pretty high, and now it's not about outperforming what you did last year. It's about shattering kind of what you did last year since you put the bar that high. So now the expectations are high.
Yeah, and you mentioned Wendy right away. Her second place finish in the 400 hurdles, just a sophomore, you know she's going to push herself in the offseason. She's about as competitive a kid as you're going to find. She's going to kind of put her nose to the grind and go back to work. And you know, where can she finish and can she get a couple of state titles, not just in the 400 hurdles, but in other events? Because, you know, she's going to continue to push herself. One of the things that impresses me, a very nice young lady, but you try to talk to her ahead of an event and you just kind of wish her good luck because she's in that zone and you don't really want to bother her because she's pretty focused on getting done what she needs to get done and you don't want to take her away from that.
Yeah, and I said that kind of at the start of the year. I'm like, Wendy, it's almost a look of don't talk to me.
Yeah.
Don't come over here. So we just, you know, good luck, Wendy, and that's about it.
And she'll smile when you do, and she'll say some stuff to you, but you can tell that she's focused, and that's a competitor. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that at all. That's a kid that's ready to go.
Yeah, and, you know, she did great, and credit as well for another one of the ESAC girls, Tori Hauser.
Yes.
I mean, comes down as an alternate, probably not thinking she's going to run in the shuttle hurdle, and you know, unfortunate circumstances. She's thrown in at the last minute and gets warmed up. And, you know, I don't know if I could handle that, being down at the state meet, hundreds of people watching you and yelling, and you're running against some of the best, and you're thrown in at the last second with a team that ran together almost all year.
Yeah, for 2 years, really, that group had been together. And, you know, and if you're Tori, you probably really hadn't run that event hardly at all this year. You know, one of the young ladies ends up getting ill and is, you know, sick and not able to go and stuff. And you find out really not very long beforehand. So you come down to start warming up, not knowing for sure, am I going yet or is she going to be okay? And is she going to go? So you got to try and mentally prepare yourself quick. And I thought Tori did an outstanding job with that. And I thought the rest of the group, did a really nice job of kind of helping her feel comfortable with what she ended up having to do.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the tough part, you know, and that's why we have alternates. That's why you get that opportunity. But once you're thrown in there, it's like that old thing, you know, you're the freshman playing varsity on basketball. You're a brand new kid going out for a sport, something like that. You know, you're thrown into something like that, and it's tough. But I tell you what, it was fun to watch that, and it was fun to watch some of the different things that we saw this weekend.
Don't want to forget the ICAM Manning boys 4x800. They finished up in fourth place, set a school record, broke that record by about 5 seconds. The interesting story of that whole thing is that time about 4 or 5 years ago, Wind State, that time this year finishes them in fourth. And that's not to take anything away from them. That's just how incredibly fast these 800 runners and distance runners are today, that you can kind of shatter your own school record and, you know, run really, really well and finish in fourth place, which is a heck of a finish. But like I said, I you know, some of the guys came up to me right after the race and they're like, our time would have won state, would have won the 4x800 4 years ago.
Yeah, and that just tells you, you know, look at the quality of runners you're running against.
Yep.
I mean, these kids are pushing you, and you're running very well. They came in seated second, and you finished fourth, and some people look at that and go, well, you came in second. How do you finish fourth, and how are you kind of happy about that? You break your own school record by 5 seconds, which you don't see that
right
very often, of shaving 5 seconds off of something. But you look at that, and you say, that time could have won a state how many years ago, and it could have won a state how many years in a row back then. But now it's like you have to run almost a perfect race in every race to be able to win state nowadays, which makes it, in my opinion, that much more satisfying when you do finish higher, because you have to run a pretty flawless race.
I don't think people realize, especially people in the stands, even the kids sometimes, I think, are caught off guard. We say every year, when you go down to state, that pace in any kind of a distance race, whether it be even a 400, the 800s, the mile, the 2 mile, that pace that everybody gets out at, it's going to be quicker and tougher on you than any race you've been in all season long. Even the state qualifying meets, kids don't go out as fast as what they go out at the state meet. So you're pushing yourself probably to a place you've never pushed yourself in any meet all season long. And, you know, some people are able to kind of dig down and be able to do that and get themselves, you know, into the record book. So congratulations to Ben Ramsey, Isaac Blankman, Xavier Diaz, and Tyson Smith. And kind of the neat thing for that IKMN and girls, really, and boys team. For the boys, I know for sure every event that went down to the state tournament this year broke a school record at some point this season. So every relay, every individual that made it down to the state meet broke their school record in that event at some point during the season. The 4x8 was the only one that had not done it prior to the state meet, and then they go out and break it by 5 or 6 seconds. So that tells you the type of season that the IKM Manning boys had as a whole this year. And the girls did a lot of that. Not every single event that went down, but almost every event that went down in the state meet broke a record this year as well.
Yeah, and you're talking about breaking records. I don't know the exact numbers, but countless records broken down there, not even just for us, but for all-time records, state meet records, class records. And that's the fun part, and you kind of said it to me when we were down there. This is why state track is fun. I mean, you get it sometimes, you know, with football, with basketball, volleyball, but it's not a, I'm going to announce this over the PA to 10,000 people sitting in a stand,
right,
and watching this event. And you kind of know it's happening. You see the pace. You see the time and all that. So that's what makes it fun. And, you know, you get to watch some of the best athletes. You know, we don't cover some of these kids, but the Quentin Naumanns of the world and those type of kids, you get to watch those kids run. And it's like, you know, I kind of joked with you. We watched him run the 32. And
that 400 that he ran at the end was incredible.
He ran a 55 split on a 400 after running 7 laps, and he just gunned it and beat every kid. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, where else are you going to watch a kid perform like that? Because for us, we cover just our local teams and every other sport. But now we get to see these other kids do these things that we generically wouldn't see
right.
Do these types of things.
Yeah, Mike Jay said it best. I saw a little video interview with him up in the booth. That somebody had done, and you know, he said, even if you're not a track fan, you're going to come down, and it's either going to be the atmosphere of, you know, over 10,000 people there screaming and yelling and cheering, and the excitement that is going on with every single event that's going to get you. It's either the atmosphere is going to get you to have fun and enjoy it, or when you see those incredible things happen, it's going to draw your attention, and you're even if you're not a track fan, you're going to enjoy the state track meet. So I hope everybody that's a sports fan at some point or another finds the time to go down to a state track meet, even if they don't have a family member or somebody competing, because it is really cool. The one thing I will say when you bring up Nauman, the one thing that still disappoints me is I feel sorry for the poor man from Mount Vernon in that distance medley. All you hear that last 400, Nauman doing what Nauman does, Nauman over the PA. And then this kid from Mount Vernon catches him the last 150 and pulls away from him. And all you hear is, Mount Vernon's in the lead, Mount Vernon's now in the lead. And it's like, say that young man's name. He deserves to be said. He just passed a kid that's going to Oregon and ran away from him, and probably ran away from the most elite runner in the state of Iowa. Say that young man's name over the PA and get it out there so everybody knows who he is. And that was the only thing that I came away with slightly disappointed. I'm not trying to take a shot at Mike J. He is the greatest that's ever done it. But that was just the one thing that stood out to me as I'm watching that race develop. It was Nauman kind of the whole race. And all of a sudden, Nauman gets kind of, you know, blown by in the last 120, 130 of that race. And all you heard was Mount Vernon, and not the young man's name that ran away from him. So
yeah, and that's why you hear over the PA and you hear everyone say it's probably one of the greatest spectacles in high school sports is the Iowa State track meet. And you get to see some of those kids. I mean, Nauman, arguably one of the best distance runners in Iowa history, probably.
Yep.
And you get to see a kid from Mount Vernon that I don't even know his name.
We don't know his name because they didn't tell us.
They didn't say it. So we get to see a kid like that nobody probably would have expected to catch Nauman, not just catch him, but beat him.
Yeah.
And beat him all the way to the finish line. And it's like, where are you going to see that in track? I mean, you're going to see it at some stuff in the regular season, but to see it at that big of a spectacle where a kid like Nauman performs the way he does, to have another kid pass him like that, you don't see that very often. And that's what made it fun, is that you get kind of those stories of kids making their mark by winning events and showing off their talent at probably the biggest thing in, you know, our area.
I'm going to highlight some other kids here that either broke school records or finished pretty high. On Thursday, I want to mention Wyatt Regaller of Arweva. He set a new school record in the 400 meters, breaking his own record of 51.08. Wendy Veit, we mentioned in the 400 hurdles. In the 400 meters, she finished up in fifth place, breaking her own school record there, running a 58.30. So congratulations to her. Morgan Mashing, it's one thing that I want the state, and I want to be nice because I have utmost respect for the state and the guys that run it. They do a tremendous job, and I will tell – I'm going to email Chris Cuellar and Jared and tell those guys that this was probably the smoothest and best run state track meet. It's just a question a lot of people in the media had, so it's not just us. You take nine to the finals all of a sudden. They've started to do that. They start taking nine kids to the finals. Great that you're taking nine to the finals instead of eight, which was what the number. But we had it happen twice with our local kids. You only medal eight, and our kid finished ninth. So you have a kid that's in the finals, and then you call eight names up to give medals, and that kid, and I know it's part of life, so anybody that wants to yell at me and go, they've got to grow tough, and it's just part of life. They've always medaled everybody that was in the finals, and now that they're taking nine to the finals, they're not medaling everybody that goes to the finals, and be that odd kid out is not it, – it's tough. Yeah. And that's a tough thing to sit through, to watch your local kids have to sit there and everybody else is being medaled when they were in the finals. And I know for Morgan Mashing, she was sitting in eighth when the finals started. So if they'd only taken eight, she medals. They take nine, and on the very last jump, the girl that was behind her passes her. So good for the girl that made the jump when she needed to, but you feel for Morgan Mashing because she deserved a medal. So I hope the state reviews, and maybe they have a great reason. I just don't know what it is because I haven't had a chance to talk to them. But I'd like to see something reviewed. I know they're not going to medal nine, but maybe they need to go back to just taking eight because, you know, for the Morgan Mashings of the world that happened to, that's tough.
And you wonder if eight and nine was that close that they thought, but, you know, those two kids should probably battle
but they're
it
taking
out to
nine,
see.
They're taking nine in every field event now.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. Is maybe, you know, in the field events they looked at it and said eight and nine are that close that maybe they can – battle it out themselves and see who's going to be the medalist. But you feel bad when 10,000 people look at you know, these eight people and go, I thought we were taking nine to the finals. Why is there eight of them standing there? And then they look over to the bench that's over to the right, and they see somebody sitting there, and you're like, you know, that's the odd man out. And it's like, you know, that does kind of sting a little bit when, you know, you don't get a medal, you don't get recognized for making the finals, but the other eight girls do, and you're right. The only one that doesn't. So I completely agree with that one. And, you know, some of the rulings that we saw down there, it's nothing against the officials, and it's nothing against, you know, the state, but, you know, I think we got to kind of clarify what DQs are and what these different things are, because, you know, we saw it when I can't remember who it was that ran that race, but they dropped the baton coming out of the blocks, and then they let them run the entire race until about the final corner of, or the first corner of the 400, and they stopped the girl on the track and make her come off. And I felt so bad because she walks off the track and just instantly started crying.
Probably like, feeling she did something wrong, and it wasn't anything that she did. I understand the ruling. So, yeah, it's, you know, we don't know all of the rules and all of the reasons. I know I talked to a couple of starters that were kind of wondering as well why they stopped her and why they pulled. Now, somebody did say maybe she had another race coming up and they didn't want her to burn everything she had running that 400 so that she wouldn't be exhausted for the next race. Maybe that's why. We don't know for sure. It just seemed really weird, you know, to walk out onto the track, stop a kid from running, and walk them off of the track and DQ them in that way. So, again, we don't understand. That's part of it. We don't understand why. We're not saying it's – we're kind of saying it's wrong, but only because we don't know what the reasoning was and why they did it.
So. Yeah, and I was just saying, you know, we just – you know, I wish there was clarifications. You know,
right.
When you see some of the professional leagues do it, when they make a controversial call like that, they kind of go back and say, here's the reason.
Right.
And I wish there was some way we could do that of – and I know they probably said it to their coach.
I'm sure they explained it to whoever. To the people that really need to know, probably know.
But it's like, you know, now we don't know as media people and as some of the other starters. It's like, you know, we don't really know what's going on either. So I wish, you know, just for our sake, we could figure it out. Because then once it happens to one of our, maybe our area kids someday, then we can go, okay, we've had this happen before. We know what's going on. So, but yeah, and I'm not taking anything away from, you know, Chris and Jared and all of the starters, everyone that was involved. That was probably one of the smoothest state events I've covered, and I've only covered two, so I don't have a huge sample size, but it was a really fun one. I think that they handle the media very well. They keep everything kind of running smoothly. They started adding, you know, the check-in and check-out times. We would always show up very early anyway, but they add the check-in time of 7:15 for us. They add the check-out time of 9:30 so that everything kind of flies smoothly. And I think that was kind of the big thing that I took away, is that, you know, they have put things in place to try and make everything run as smoothly as possible with that big of a meet.
Let's run you through some of the other results here. Maddie Mason, the other young lady from our area that finished ninth qualifying for the finals for Coon Rapids Baird in the girls' discus. Malia Klayberg qualified seventh for the finals in the 100 meters and then would finish up in seventh place on Saturday. I honestly thought she was in sixth, but she ended up finishing in seventh. Tyson Smith of IKEA Manning set a new school record, breaking his own record in the 400 hurdles. So congratulations goes out to him. The Coon Rapids Baird boys finished ninth, just missing out on the 4x100 finals, but ran a fantastic race on a Friday afternoon and stuff. So they did really well as well. And then, again, Wendy Veit with that new school record in the 400 hurdles that we talked about earlier. And then, again, Malia Klayberg finishing seventh again on Saturday in the 100 hurdles. And do want to give a shout-out to the two Exirocrine-Kimbleton kids. I know when I was talking to Coach Brown, it had been a while since the Spartan jersey had been down at the Blue Oval and stuff. So congratulations to Taryn Peterson and Austin Rasmussen for qualifying for the state meet and getting to see and getting to run as Exirocrine-Kimbleton Spartan. So congratulations for them.
And Austin breaking the school record.
Yes.
He broke the record in the mile down there. So congratulations on that. And the funny thing I wanted to bring up is the Wendy Veits and the Tyson Smiths and those type of kids, the Malia Klaybergs, that set the school record earlier in the season and then go out and break it again. I can't remember if Malia did down there or not, but she's done it in the season. But like Tyson Smith down there, you break the record, and it's pretty easy to know if you did because it's your record at that point. So it's like, you know, I'm not shattering somebody else's record. I'm breaking my record.
And the funny thing is the people like Wendy were too humble sometimes to even let me know. I ended up finding out right after the interview with them that they broke the record because they didn't want to talk about breaking their own record in the interview. So, you know, you get those humble kids that are really good. Sometimes they don't even want to mention that they broke their own record. We'll step away. We're going to turn our focus. State boys golf going on today. State girls golf coming up later this week. Soccer pairings and playoffs coming up later this week as well. We'll talk about all of those postseason things. Plus, we get heavy into our baseball and softball coverage. We'll run through all of that as we wrap up the CB Sports Network Rewind Show coming up here on KCIM.
Iowa Savings Bank has a new chapter. We're now part of Midwest Heritage, bringing together trusted local service with even greater strength and opportunity. Hi, this is Michelle Pritchard. You'll still see the same team you know and trust, but now with more tools to serve you better. We're excited for what's ahead and proud to continue serving this community. Midwest Heritage, here for you today and into the future. Midwest Heritage, member FDIC.
Exciting changes are happening at Home Care Options. We're restoring and updating our main office building, the historic Minchin House, with improvements designed to honor its original character while creating a fresh new look for Main Street Carroll. New siding, paint, lighting, and more are all part of the transformation because we believe investing in our community helps all of Carroll shine. We've also been making exciting updates inside the building, and we can't wait to share them with you soon during an upcoming open house. Home Care Options, rooted in community, committed to care.
As the athletes at your house prepare for hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
We welcome you back here on KCIM Sports Rewind and CB Sports Network Rewind. Jeff Blankman hanging out with your Mason Nealon. Going to be back. We're having some horrific computer issues right now and stuff. So we're struggling to be able to get our computer system here at the office to be able to work. So Mason had to step out and grab. Go ahead and jump on, Mike. So we're going to end up, just kind of chatting. We're going to start here, Mason, with what's going on at the golf today. The boys state tournament is going on today. We've got Coon Rapids Baird at the Westwood Golf Course over at Newton today. They're teeing off here at 10:30 in Class 2A. Jack Lenz and Braxton Fanami of Kemper, along with Charlie Natras of South Central Calhoun, are at the South Hills Golf Course at Waterloo today, also teeing off at 10 o'clock this morning. So boys state golf getting underway, and I know all of those teams and individuals really feeling like they've got a chance to do some damage.
For some of those Kemper guys, you look at it and you go, Braxton Fanami, four-time qualifier. Jack Lenz might be his first time or second time. I don't know 100% sure, but Kemper's got a really strong tradition being down there. They've won a couple of state titles. Great tradition down there. And for Charlie Natras, I mean, you get down there for your first time, but you feel confident going into it. I mean, you've been kind of that number one, number two all season. You and Gaffney have kind of been those alternates of, you know, I'm the guy this meet, and then you're kind of the second guy that meet. But, you know, you got to have a little confidence going into it. And for Coon Rapids Baird, you know, some ups and downs throughout the season of, you know, all that stuff of, you know, we had a good season, but we're still kind of figuring out some of the ups and downs throughout the year. But they come out of nowhere there in that last one and are able to win their state qualifying meet, getting into, you know, the state meet itself as a team. And congratulations to them first off for that, because I know they've been wanting that. And when I interviewed them at their first golf meet, they said, you know, that's our goal. We want to get down to state. We've tried for 3 years now and haven't gotten it done. Now in the fourth year, they get it done. So congratulations to them.
Yeah, and, you know, Coach Andy Klein deserves, you know, a lot of credit. I think David Van On, who had been the boys' coach the last few years and kind of gotten those guys built and ready to go and had them so close, I think also he put a lot of time into kind of rebuilding boys' golf down there at Coon Rapids Baird, and then Coach Klein's just kind of come in and kept them moving forward. I think they've got the potential to do extremely well at that tournament, them and Woodbine, both out of the Rolling Valley Conference. Conference are there. So that says a lot about how good that Rolling Valley Conference is right now.
Yeah, and the funny thing is they do a lot of those, you know, we talk about it, we type it, where it's the Rolling Valley Conference meet and how they golf with each other every week like that. So, you know, they say iron sharpens iron. So for a team like Woodbine and a team like Coon to play each other every week, you help each other get better and you help each other kind of find your way throughout the season.
Let's talk soccer coming up tomorrow. Boys district soccer, you've got a Class 2A District 8. Carroll is at Perry, and that'll be a 7 o'clock start again tomorrow night down at Perry. I think the Tigers have a really good chance of advancing through that one. They probably more than likely run into Heelan, who's ranked in the top five after that, but that's a winnable game too. But they've got to get through a Perry team who beat Gilbert, and Gilbert was able to just edge Carroll earlier this year. But if you look at records, the Tigers have the better record going into this one, even though they're on the road.
Yeah, you came a little underseeded. You know, you were third seated in your own little sub-state bracket there, but I think that they're confident. You know, you look at it and you say, we've hung with the ADMs, the Bondurants, the Gilberts. We don't normally do that. And, you know, Carroll, you know, for a while there was kind of that lower half of the Raccoon River. They jump up in the final season of the Raccoon River, and I've kind of said it throughout the year, it's the culmination of what they've been building over there. So props to them for the season they've had so far, and I know those kids probably don't want to be done with soccer.
No, I think when you get to the postseason, you really find those teams that are really big on we want to continue to play, and I think that group being very senior led is certainly one of those teams.
Yeah, and that's one that, you know, their future is going to be bright. I hear they've got some kids underneath them ready to go that are going to be coming up here very soon. But those seniors, you know, they don't want to go out without maybe giving it their best shot. So tomorrow, that could be a very, very good game to watch if you're over in the Perry area. But you know that one should be pretty good.
Well, folks, we'll try to finish up our discussion here. Anybody that was watching the video probably saw me storm out of the studio, but just a little frustrated here this morning is our mouse not working, so we have absolutely no control over the studio computer, which plays everything. So we ended up ending the video broadcast here today, but we do have a few things we wanted to talk. Kemper boys soccer, as they're coming in up in action tomorrow night as well.
Yeah, and I got to kind of regain my train of thought there, but you know, we were talking about Carroll. One of the teams that beat them this year is Kemper, and you know, Kemper loses Fletch Baiting in the middle of the season, and so they're still trying to probably reinvent themselves. You know, you can't totally reinvent the wheel, but you know, you can maybe put some new ones on. So I think that they're looking to find whoever it's going to be that new wheel for them to make this thing work in the postseason. So that'll be exciting to see. You know, maybe it's a Tim Myers, maybe somebody off the bench steps up and, you know, really takes that role. But Coach Massey said it best, you're not going to replace Fletch at all with the skill that he has and what he brings to the team, but you can find guys that can kind of fill the spot for the time needed.
Yeah, and move to Thursday now as we've got some more stuff. Girls soccer regionals get going on Thursday. The Carroll girls head over to Perry, so Carroll going to be making back-to-back trips to Carroll. First night with the boys, second night with the girls. So girls have got a chance to get through that one. They've been playing some better, you know, soccer here towards the end of the season. But you know, those trips over to Perry are never easy.
Yeah, no, and Perry, you know, if there's one thing Perry's good at, it's soccer. They've got a really good soccer program. I know those teams usually would have faced off back in the day with Perry being in the Raccoon River for a while. So I think Coach Steph Jorgensen knows what it's like to play a Perry team as she played on Carroll back in the day. So I think she'll have the girls ready to go, and we'll see, you know, what they can do against this Perry team.
Also in action tomorrow night in girls soccer, Kemper going to be hosting either Greene County or Wright County. And again, this will be Thursday. We'll find out who they play after tonight as Greene County and Wright County play coming up tonight. My guess, probably Wright County without doing a whole lot of homework. But for Kemper, I think their focus has got to be going out and playing their style of soccer no matter who they're playing.
And I tell you what, they are dangerous when they are playing their best soccer. When they play Kemper soccer, they are a really, really good team. But with that being said, now you're going to sit there and say, when was the last time Kemper was tested to the point that's a postseason level? I mean, you outscore opponents 78-0, and I think they gave up one goal in the last month and a half of the season. So it's like, you know, is that the defense being elite, or are we looking for that postseason test here? Maybe Wright County pushed them a little bit to open up the postseason or something, but they, you know, you've got to find your groove in the postseason.
Also, again, girls' state golf will get underway on Thursday. Kemper, our only team for girls' golf that's there. They've got a chance, I think, number two ranked team in the state, so they'll have a chance. Led, of course, by Addie Bider. Elsa Tiefenthaler and Jihada Lohanu have been kind of the three regulars, that have kind of really taken over. Brooklyn Lair has become kind of that really consistent, really good number four for them. And then, you know, which is what you need. Anybody that doesn't pay a lot of attention to high school soccer, you golf up to six, but you only take four scores. But that fifth score sometimes, if it comes down to a tie, that fifth score is always an important one. So they really need to be balanced and go out and shoot well. They are going to be headed to the American Legion, boasts number 46 golf course over in Marshalltown. They'll start Thursday at 9 o'clock in the morning, and then they'll finish it up with day two on Friday. So, been over to that course many a times over the years. The last Kemper Boys State Championship came at that course and stuff. So, Kemper people are very familiar with that course over in Marshalltown.
What a name for a golf course there, right? For a minute there, I thought you were naming a building.
Yes.
And, but, you know, they've got a storied history as well. They've won a couple of state titles,
yep.
Had some really good golfers. So I would not be surprised if Coach Deb Goody has got them ready to go. And you see Addie Bider and Elsa Tiefenthaler and Giada Lujano go out there and kind of shock the world. I mean, you're expected to be that good, but I think that they could really take a step forward and cement themselves as some of the best golfers that have come through Kemper.
You bet. Forgot to mention ESAC soccer is up at Humboldt as well. So They're on Thursday night having to go up to Humboldt. Humboldt's got a pretty good record. They're the number two seed in that region. So that'll be quite a challenge for ESAC County.
And I laugh because the funny thing, if they wouldn't have rescheduled softball, they would have played softball Tuesday and Wednesday, postseason soccer Thursday, softball Friday, and then 9:30 a.m. they've got to be ready for a game on Saturday. So, you know,
a doubleheader of softball on Saturday.
You look at it and you go, we're probably glad we rescheduled Tuesday and Wednesday, because now they're going to play Thursday soccer, Friday doubleheader, Saturday for softball. And that's just kind of what happens when you have soccer girls that play softball, or softball girls that play soccer. So it'll be fun to see, you know, with them. If they can win on Thursday, what does it look like with the softball season and all that?
And we've got just a minute here or so. Real quick thoughts, baseball and softball. We've done some games last week. We were gone Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at State Track. But we'll get back into full swing. Two games tonight, two games Thursday, two broadcasts on Friday, and then a broadcast Saturday morning as well. So anybody that's looking for extensive baseball, softball coverage, we'll kind of start that this week.
Yeah, and I should have a barn burner of a game tonight. ICAM, Manning, Xyrel, Corn, Kimbleton, Audubon down in Kimbleton. I mean, can the story write itself any better? These are two teams that know each other very well. These are two teams that want to beat each other very badly. For ICAM Manning, you see, you're like, we've taken a couple of steps forward. Now we're playing a third seed. For you tonight, you've got, you know, our first look at Randy Snyder as a Titan.
Yep.
We've got Glidden Ralston up there as well, so it should be some pretty good games on the air tonight.
Yeah, should be. Looking forward to that. Glidden, South Central, Calhoun, and the ICAM Manning at Xyrel, Kern, Kimbleton. Again, that schedule is always posted online at sports.1380kcim.com. Hopefully our equipment will work, and hopefully we'll have news coming up for you here in just a couple of seconds. Happy Tuesday morning, everybody. Jeff Blankman hanging out with you here on 1380 AM, 95.1 FM, KCIM. As always, appreciate you joining us here today and looking forward to a fun day with you here on this Tuesday. I'll be actually hanging out until 5 o'clock this afternoon. Then I'll head on up to Lytton tonight for some baseball action. Glidden Ralston at South Central Calhoun. You can check out that entire local sports schedule again at sports.1380kcim.com. We've got a couple of baseball broadcasts, or one baseball, one softball broadcast coming up tonight.